Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, 2009. A reading from the first book of Samuel. Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Again the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "You called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time Samuel was not familiar with the Lord, because the Lord had not revealed himself as of yet. The Lord called Samuel again, for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry, and he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God.
Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
Sacrifice or offering you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocausts or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, "Behold, I come."
Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart.
Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will.
I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know.
Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the body is not for immortality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise you by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? But whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Avoid immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the immoral person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian. I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And of course, we're going to discuss these readings that we've all just heard. And Dawn, this Gospel, for me, there are a lot of things that I really liked in this Gospel. But for me, the one thing that stands out is the invitation of Jesus when he says, "Come and you will see." Because I think a lot of times what we do when we talk about Christianity and things is we do just that, and we talk about it, like you and I are about to do here on this podcast. But Jesus never really talks about a theology or, you know, why we believe this or that, or why the Jewish people believed this or that. What he does is he invites people to enter into a lifestyle. And that's always his invitation to people is, come and you will see. And I think that's a real challenge for us as Christians today and for us as Catholics today, is to ask ourselves, are we living in such a way that we can invite people to come and see? Do our lives, are they lives that people can come and see and realize that there's a difference between us as Christians and perhaps the secular world or the rest of the world out there? Is there something that marks our lives as being different? Because I think that's what Christ is telling us here, is that, you know, if you want to really understand what it is to be my follower, you have to come and you have to actually follow me. It has to look like something. And I think that's the same message that we as a church need to be proclaiming is, do you want to know what Christianity is about? It shouldn't be, here, go read this book, or here, you know, read these passages from the Bible, or listen to this person's homily. It should be, come, stay with us, live this life for a little while, and see what that leads you to conclude.
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned this, because I'm reading this book called Velvet Elvis by Rob Bell. Anyhow, he talks about jumping on a trampoline is like living in a relationship with God. Now, that sounds a little strange, I know, but he goes on to say, he's talking about people that go around just arguing for the, really arguing doctrine as a point of trying to convert people to be Christians. And he says, you know, you don't usually go around arguing for a trampoline. You just jump, and then you invite other people to jump with you. I mean, there's not a lot of trying to convince people different things. And I love that thought about that's what we should be doing, is just jumping and living in relationship, and people say, hey, that looks like fun. Maybe I'll give that a try. And so, similar to what you're saying.
Yeah, and inviting people onto that trampoline. And I don't think either of us are saying, just to be clear to our listeners, that we shouldn't have any kind of rationale behind our faith, or we shouldn't be able to explain our faith. Because I think both of us agree that we need to be able to do that, otherwise we'd just quit this podcast right now. but there is this thing that generally what you said is right. You know, you don't argue somebody into jumping on a trampoline. You jump on the trampoline and people see it looks like fun, or say, you know, what is it that you're doing? You don't say, well, you know, and give them the whole physics equation. You say, come up here, jump on this, and you'll see what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And I think that's the same thing we need to say as Christians. It's nobody is really converted, or very few people, I shouldn't say nobody, but very few people are converted by an argument. Mm-hmm. What it is it's, you know, come live with us, come to our mass, you know, come to our service, see what we do, you know, live this life for a while and see, does this work for you? Does this answer those questions? And I think that's really the way to evangelization. John Paul II made this call for what he called the new evangelization. Of course, then he didn't define what he meant by that, and that's left for everybody else to figure out what it means. But I think that's got to be the way. And it shouldn't, again, like I said, mean that our faith is unintelligible, that if somebody had a question, said, well, why is it we're doing this, that we couldn't explain it to them, or that we said, gee, I don't know. But what it should mean is that the real way to, I think, convert people and convert the world is for us to live a way that's kind of exemplary, and then invite people into this life. And I think that's challenging, because one of the key things there, as I said, that we have to live this exemplary lifestyle. And that does mean that if our lives as Christians looks just like everybody else, then we're in trouble, because we can't evangelize. Then we've lost the ability to evangelize if we live no differently than the rest of the world. Or even if it's just, you know, all we do is we go to Mass once a week on Sundays, but other than that, there's really no noticeable difference. That's going to be problematic. One of the things, it's interesting, there's this professor out at Duke, his name is Stanley Hauerwas, and he's a Methodist. And he has a sign on his door, it's kind of famous, that his students will talk about. And it says, a suggestion for peace, Christians stop killing Christians. And I think there's a real point to that, because what he's saying there, when you see that, is that if we want to be examples to the world, we first have to get our own act together. Because
right.
we're living right now, when we kill other Christians or enter into war, and he's a radical pacifist and everything, but when we enter into these wars and things with other Christians, one could easily ask the question, well, how is what you're doing any different than what everybody else in the world is doing? You're not being that light for the world that Christ calls us to be.
I just got to thinking, you mentioned another quote from him earlier, and as we approach this Sanctity of Human Life week, maybe you should just quickly mention what he said about abortion.
Oh, yes. Well, he was, Professor Hauerwas was called before Congress a few years back to give some testimony or some argument as an ethical theologian about the morality of abortion. And Congress asked him for his argument, and he said, Christians don't kill their children. And I think they were kind of stunned. They said, you know, we understand that, Professor Hauerwas, but what is your argument? He goes, that is my argument. Christians don't kill their children. And I think what he was doing there was something that's – it was a unique move, and I think it's an important move. And he's saying that, you know, all the stuff like ethics and things like that, we always have to start – from a point of faith in everything we do. And you and I have talked about this a lot on the podcast, Don, where we say that a lot of times as Americans, we fall into the trap of looking at things as Americans instead of as Catholics first or as Christians first. And I think that's what he's saying, is that you can't do this apart from your faith. You can't come up with a real ethics apart from what it is to be Christian, because that necessarily influences your ethics. And we live in a country that is Christian, and as Christians, we don't kill our babies. And so that was his argument there. It had nothing to do with, you know, this should, I can show you from natural law, or let me give you kind of an ethic that applies to all people. What he says is that that doesn't work. What we need to do is start from our position of faith and then do ethics from there.
And I think that analogy or that statement covers the whole consistent life ethic that the Catholic Church holds about from birth to death, you know, Christians don't kill Christians, just like your other comment that you
yep.
made.
Yep.
So the whole range of human life that from conception to death, not from birth to death. But anyhow, I just thought that it was convenient timing to mention that and where we are in the world. So
yeah, yeah. And I think, like I said, I think there's something real profound in him about saying, you know, we really need to start from a point of view of we are a Christian people, we are a Catholic people, and how does that inform the way we live? Because otherwise, I think that we fall into that trap of living like the rest of the world, and then when we invite people to come and see and stay with us, they'll say, gee, you look like everybody else that I've seen. And that's not going to be a way of converting the world or spreading the news of the gospel as Jesus commands us to do.
So, not to change topics, but to these readings, all of these readings talk a lot about discernment and choosing the path that you're going to go down. We have Samuel in the first reading, God's calling him, and then our psalm says, here I am, Lord. And so I know you've talked about it in the past, but could you maybe just give us a 2-minute description of how God called you to be where you are at this moment in time?
Sure. But then I'm going to throw the question back at you, because I think
oh,
it's important.
We'll
I think it's important for both. Well, no, but I mean, I think it's important for both of us, because myself as somebody who's, you know, going in to become an active member of the priesthood, and then somebody who's a lay Catholic who still lives out their vocation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be good to hear both stories here. For me, you know, it's something that I've always felt. I tell people, and I've had different experiences of how I felt about being called, because I can remember when I was real young, maybe 4 years old, always telling people that when they'd say, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I wanted to be a doctor, a comedian, and a priest. And I always say those were probably my three biggest influences on me were my dad, who's a doctor, Bill Cosby, and my uncle, who's a priest. And I said, later I learned that I can't stand the sight of blood, and I'm not that funny, so therefore all I'm left with is becoming a priest. But, I mean, actually, That's right. No, it does go deeper. It goes deeper than that. I think that basically it comes down to a fact of being called, and I feel that this is where God is calling me. I've been out in the workforce. I was making decent money, but I was never really happy when I was out working as a computer technician and things. And I found ever since I've entered this way of life that I've been a lot happier. The other thing, though, with what I found for anybody who might be discerning a religious vocation too, is I always tell people, you can't do it all at once. So don't try to make the big decision like, I've decided today I'm going to become a priest and then I'll enter seminary and 5 years later become a priest. It's a gradual thing that you grow into. And again, it comes down to that come and see. What I tell people is what you do is you have to take it one step at a time. So for me, it started with I decided, okay, I'm going to spend a year doing volunteer service. And that led me to saying, I think God is calling me to enter the seminary, not necessarily to become a priest, but to go to the seminary. So I decide I'm going to go to the seminary for a year. And after that year, I say, am I growing deeper into this relationship? Is God still calling me to be here? And gradually, over time, it kind of all becomes clear. But the analogy would be, to do it the other way, would be something like saying, oh, I met this girl the other day, I saw her, and yeah, I've decided I'll marry her. Nobody does that. They gradually enter into a relationship, and then you gradually, the relationship either goes somewhere or doesn't go somewhere. Now, would you like to share some of your own vocational story, Dawn?
It's still being formed. But I used to work at a business in near where I live, and I worked there for about 6 years, and initially it was fine, but by the end, something inside me knew that that's not where I was supposed to be, and it was a miserable time trying to figure out, well, where am I supposed to be? And in your heart of hearts, sometimes God's talking to you, and he was saying, just leave. And I said, I can't just leave because I don't know what I'll do. And I have all these arguments planned out. But eventually, after about a year and a half of it, I did. And I thought, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. And of course, every time I tried to do one of those things that I planned, it fell through. So one day I came to Mass here at St. Mary's, and the person was giving a homily and saying, we need lots of help with different things. We need some people to help at the soup kitchen, and our youth minister is going to have a baby, so we need someone just to help out for like 3 weeks. And so those two things, I thought, well, I'm not doing anything else. I might as well just help out. But so I did, and through the soup kitchen, I met this wonderful person in my life, that she is like a mentor for me. So that was one of the great things. And then I discovered that working with teenagers, something I had no desire to do before, trust me, I won't use the same word. You used happy, and I can't use that word all the time because there's a lot of turmoil and things, but it's just, I know this is where I'm supposed to be for the moment. And that contentedness, I think you find when you seek after what God's asking you to do, when you really go down that road. Not that I'm where I am all the time, but for this moment, I know that this is where I'm supposed to be. So
excellent. And I think you're right. I liked your mention of the word happy too, because I did use that word. And I think you're right. I think that there are moments, and I would say this even for myself, there are moments of happiness. And I describe overall, the big picture of my life, I'd say happy. But yeah, you're right. I think that you do have to acknowledge that if you're trying to find something where you're happy 24/7, that doesn't happen in this life. that's the next life. That's the goal of our Christian lives.
True.
But but I think both of us, and I think most people out there, know that too. Well, Dawn, we are coming to the end of a long podcast.
Yes.
But hopefully it's been informative for people, and we've given them some things to think about are they living their lives in a way that they can invite people to come and see? Is there something distinctively Christian about their life? And are they inviting people to come and see and convert the world that way? And of course, we hope that they'll join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.